ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Do you ever think that maybe the people making all the important decisions don't have a clue what they're doing?
Stable coins. Do you know what a stable coin is? Does anybody know? Please raise your hand.
The obvious solution to war is to have the West having the strongest, most precise, deadly weapons possible.
I'm Matt Bevan, and on my show, if you're listening, we take a look at every terrible decision that led to where we are today. New episodes every Tuesday and Thursday on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
He got out via a catering container. But when Donald Trump fled his Air Force One jet because of a possible threat from Iran, he left the press travelling with him on board and then sent them into the air. Yes, the strange Air Force One story has a new twist. The president had tried to keep secret. Today, Dan Diamond, a White House reporter for The Washington Post, on everything we now know and how Donald Trump is justifying it. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal Land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Dan, a few weeks back, we had a look at this curious story about Donald Trump leaving the NATO summit on an old Air Force One plane because the new one, gifted by the Qataris, was not secure enough.
Why aren't you flying on the new Air Force One home?
It's flying to Europe, to one of the big bases, two or three of the big bases, where we can show it to the people, and we'll be going home by normal methods.
But, well, might be an understatement to say things have changed. Your colleagues at the Washington Post broke this story. Just tell me first, what did you think when you saw it?
Well, I thought it was an incredible story, and I've had a heads up on it for some weeks and was crossing my fingers if they could bring this story in for a landing. It's just a truly incredible look at the secrecy involved with transporting the president.
Yeah, sure is. Okay, so let's run through this. It is true that Donald Trump boarded the old Air Force One when he was leaving Ankara, isn't it?
Well, so I would even rewind it just a moment. Mm. So President Trump flies in to Turkey on this Qatari plane. That there have been real questions about this plane in the United States media and from lawmakers, the ethics of the plane, the safety of the plane. But Trump brushed that all aside. He was so eager to fly this new luxurious Air Force One on an international trip. Hours after arriving in Turkey, the United States strikes Iran again. The ceasefire is over. Mm. So within some hours of that, President Trump makes this unusual announcement about sending the new Air Force One ahead to a UK Air Force base, and that he wants to fly the old Air Force One for old time's sake. Immediately a bizarre statement. So this is all the backdrop of when President Trump then boards the old Air Force One in full view of cameras.
Yes.
And as my colleagues reported, within moments, he was whisked from the other side of the plane via a catering container and a catering truck into a smaller plane where Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth and some of President Trump's closest deputies accompanied him on the next leg of the trip to the United Kingdom.
Wow. Okay, so he's whisked off this plane, put into a catering van, put on another plane instead, a military plane. But all the journalists that are travelling with him, they're still sitting on the old Air Force One, and they have no idea that he's not on it.
That's right. It doesn't appear that any reporters knew that President Trump was off the plane. They were told at the time to keep their window shades down, though it was somewhat unclear why. Mm. And my colleagues have reported it wasn't just the journalists, it was some of Trump's own deputies. It's unclear how many of them knew about the switch and whether they were complicit knowing that there was a threat to the airplane staying on board the old Air Force One.
Okay, so they're sort of being used as a decoy, if you like. And there are reports that some of Trump's top officials were on the plane as well, including Marco Rubio. And if the plane is not safe for the president, is it really safe for them?
Theoretically, no. I mean, if there's a threat against Air Force One and the Iranian threat or whoever the threat might come from believes the president's on board, then folks on the plane are out of luck whether or not the president's actually on board.
Wow. And this elaborate plan, it was hatched, do we know, because there was a real and credible threat against Donald Trump.
We know that the Secret Service and federal officials believe there to be a credible threat. President Trump and his allies have faced threats from Iran dating back many years. This is part of the reason that President Trump potentially has so much animus toward Iran and helped convince him to attack Iran earlier this year. Mm. But the trickery didn't stop in Turkey. It continued when the plane landed in the United Kingdom and President Trump was secretly brought from the military plane to the old Air Force One where all the reporters were. Mm. And then in public view, he disembarked that plane to get on the new Qatari Air Force One. So there was a like second stage of trickery involved with transporting the president.
And Donald Trump, he has now confirmed that this did indeed all happen.
So I go by Secret Service and the military. They wanted me to go on a different flight, a different plane, equal safety, but they wanted me to do it, so I do it. I do what they say.
And he was asked about the safety concerns for the reporters who were left on the old Air Force One.
Why was it too dangerous for you to fly on Air Force One? But
well, I don't know. I think actually the plane that I flew on was at greater risk. I think it was at greater risk because that would be the plane I think that we that they would be more likely to go for.
And just to note for our audience, Dan, the president, all US presidents, they do fly and travel with the press. There's always a press contingent with them. That doesn't happen here, but that's really important, isn't it, in the United States?
That's right, Sam. This is a tradition that goes back a century or so. It goes back to the days of Franklin Delano Roosevelt and World War II. There have been numerous major events that have happened where the press were there with the president, the shooting of John F. Kennedy Jr., and other attempted strikes on presidents. The events of September 11th, 2001, where reporters were embedded with George W. Bush as he flew around the country. And the deal is that, you know, the president owes the American people some level of transparency. American people want to know what is happening with the president. We can't have every reporter who wants to be there with the president. So we have this small pool of print reporters, TV reporters. Historically, there have been radio and camera folks as well who accompany the president around the country and transcribe what is happening to him.
Yeah.
And they provide that service. And I've had to do it myself. It's intimidating, but amazing responsibility where you are the person trying to inform all the folks who aren't there what is happening with the U.S. president.
Yeah, and it means the press will always be there if something goes wrong. It will always be documented.
Well, in theory, I mean, the president has not always been transparent, and there have been past moments, nothing quite like this, but where the press has been unhappy about being cut out of what the president is doing. Mm. This is the first time that I'm aware of where the press was used as a decoy in a threat on the president's life, but there have been other times where the president didn't let the press know where he was going or what he was doing, and that has caused some consternation.
There are reports also, Dan, in the Washington Post as well, that at one point, Bill Clinton, I think back in 2000, he also switched planes in a similar manner, but the press was actually briefed about that.
That's right, Sam. So my colleague Scott Nover had a great story about a quarter century ago. President Bill Clinton flew to Pakistan and was not on the Air Force One plane. He was on a different, smaller plane. There was not a huge secret because President Clinton got off the plane and it was immediately apparent. Mm. We've also seen in the past presidents like Barack Obama, George W. Bush fly secretly into war zones. But after that trip was made, it was immediately apparent. It was disclosed what had happened. In this case, it wasn't disclosed. And when President Trump faced reporters, he sidestepped questions about the oddity of not using the new Air Force One. When he was asked by reporters about the window shades that they were told not to put up, he alluded to potential threats, but didn't get specific.
Do you know why they had us close our window blinds? That was not usual.
Well, yeah, because probably on a dangerous flight, because if the sleazebags that we have to deal with.
And then he had a bit of dark humor. He made a joke that essentially said, well, if I go, you go. Mm. So maybe you should rethink the line of work that you're in.
Are you aware of any credible threat by Iran against Air Force One?
Well, I have a threat all the time. I'm number one on their list before you. But if I go, you go.
Dan, I just want to dig a bit deeper now into the confusion that the Trump administration seems to create ever since the start of the war in Iran. Now, the transparency is really lacking, isn't it? Because Pete Hegseth, the so-called war secretary, he barely ever fronts the press. He hasn't actually given a formal press conference since May.
Well, Pete Hegseth and his allies at the Pentagon here have made very big changes to their interactions with the media. Mm. Reporters like my colleagues at the Washington Post, including the colleague who anchored the story, Dan Lamoth, they were embedded at the Pentagon until this administration. Mm. And the Trump administration kicked them out. They got rid of their desks and gave them to friendly media who have approached this administration very differently than the traditional media. So Pete Hegseth has had a combative relationship with the press, and maybe its most favorable interpretation. Mm. And he has not faced reporters like the Washington Post and the New York Times with the regularity of his predecessors.
Yeah, he did turn up at a Senate committee recently to demand more money to actually fund the war, which apparently has already cost $37.5 billion. And now, of course, Dan, there's also these extensive reports that the US is actually running out of weapons, which then, of course, Donald Trump denies.
We're in great shape. But with that being said, we always want more. We have to have more. We have other things maybe come up. Maybe come up and maybe don't come up. Hopefully nothing else does come up. But we're in very good shape. We have literally massive amounts of ammunition.
You just never know where anything actually stands.
Well, we know one thing, Sam, which is the U.S. intervention into Iran has been a major political blow for President Trump and Republicans. It has not polled well broadly. It has turned some of President Trump's supporters who believed that they were electing a president who was going to keep us out of global conflicts. It has turned them against the president. And it is a major drag on the Republican Party heading into the midterms. So while there are disparate reports about how many supplies the United States has or doesn't have, and I'm inclined to believe the reports by my colleagues at the Post that we're running awfully low on some of these missiles and other supplies, what is clear is that this is an unpopular war, and the United States and Donald Trump have been unable to extricate the country from it.
Yeah, and we know, of course, that there needs to be military secrets in wars, but this is going a step too far, right?
What we want from the president is some modicum of transparency. There could be drawbacks, acknowledging maybe shortfalls in military supplies. I think some of that is understood. But I think many Americans want honesty about where is the United States going? What is the plan to end this war? Are we equipped to keep fighting it? What does it mean for Americans' costs as passed on by the federal government? So I think there are many fair questions, and you want the federal government to be as honest as possible. I'm not a war reporter, but I've covered sensitive things in the past, like the development of coronavirus vaccines. And I've been asked by the White House and other federal officials at times not to report what I knew because of the risk of harming something very sensitive or alarming the public. Mm. And reporters can go along with that to some degree. But I think at the end of the day, we all want transparency. And the reason this episode has been so strange, Sam, is we're now a month out from what happened, and we didn't get any transparency about President Trump's plane switch until the Washington Post reported it.
Well, just tell me then, Dan, what do you think? How significant is this Air Force One ruse, if you like? Is it a betrayal of the public and press trust, or should we really accept that it was needed for the protection of the president? What do you think?
I see it a couple ways. I do think, again, having covered sensitive things, having been a White House reporter now for a bit, there are things that the press and the public don't immediately need to know. So if there needed to be a switch of the president's plane, that makes sense to me. I think what would have made more sense would have been, say, secretly flying the president out of Turkey to the United Kingdom. And then once he got there, making it clear to Iranian authorities, hey, the president is out of Turkey, so let's fly everyone else aboard Air Force One, you know, the hundreds of other people who need to travel. Let's get them out safely. And Iranians don't need to know or don't think that the president's on board that plane. So there could have been a safer way to do this that I think would have kept the president secret while not putting more people at risk.
Dan Diamond is a White House reporter for The Washington Post. This episode was produced by Ilaria Brophy and Louise Milan. Audio production by Anna John. Our supervising producer is Sydney Pete. I'm Sam Hawley. Thanks for listening.